Welcome to the Ocean Hills Podcast. Our hope is that today's message would help you connect more deeply with God and with others. If you would like more information on what is happening in the Ocean Hills community, check out our website at oceanhills.org or download the Ocean Hills app. If you are encouraged by our ministry and would like to partner with us financially, you can give through your mobile device by texting Ocean Hills to 77977. We hope you enjoy this message.
Good morning, Ocean Hills, and good morning to all of our guests and visitors today. We're in this series, The Art of Letting Go. I want to begin this morning by having you just close your eyes just for a moment. Here's the question for you. Do you have a favorite place? A sweet spot where you are happy. Where's your happy place? It might be a beautiful place. It might be a joyful place. It might be a quiet place. Do you have a favorite place? It might be a wow place. You can open your eyes. Did you think of a place? We live in a world today, so many of us travel. So many of us have seen amazing places, rivers, gardens, mountains, beaches, monasteries, museums, special places that we go, wow, maybe even sacred places. But I wanna reframe it this morning. I wanna say, I wanna argue, maybe that's the wrong word. I want to convince you to visit the best place in the world this morning. The best place. Better than whatever that place was you imagined. Better than any place I've ever been in the world, and I've been to a lot of places. The best place in the world is the foot of the cross. It's the most beautiful place in the world. Now, when I say that, there are some of you that go, oh, yes. Some of you are like, what? What happens here at the foot of the cross? It's here at the foot of the cross that you are seen and known and loved. It's here at the foot of the cross that you can experience forgiveness and freedom. It's here at the foot of the cross that reconciliation and renewal of your soul and your spirit are possible. At the foot of the cross, there's hope. At the foot of the cross, there's healing. At the foot of the cross, there's relationship. The hostilities have all been broken down. The wall of hostility has been broken down in Jesus at the foot of the cross. New beginnings and new life. New beginnings and new life. New beginnings and new life are possible at the foot of the cross. And so I want to take you to the foot of the cross this morning, and I want to have you listen in on a conversation from the best place in the world, the foot of the cross. Luke 23. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Jesus. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him, saying, don't you fear God since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve. But this man, Jesus, he's done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, well, can you explain to me the doctrine of atonement? I didn't say it. No, Jesus said, can you tell me the date you were baptized? Do you have church membership? I look at the cross and I look at this passage and I have the visual, right? There's a criminal on either side and Jesus is in the middle. And so in a way, I think of this passage as a tale of two hearts. Two criminals, both criminals, being crucified on either side of Jesus. But it seems to me that one had a hardened heart and another one had a humble heart. One had a callous heart and one had a caring heart. One was more belligerent, the other more believing. One seems a little more cynical, the other one genuine. One feels a little rebellious, the other repentant. And so maybe as we launch into this message, I can just ask the question, which thief this morning is your story? Where is your heart this morning? Are you hard? Is your heart feeling hard or callous, or is it humble, soft, teachable, open, faith-filled, or faithless? I want you to notice Jesus' response to the criminal. Truly, I tell you, today you will both be with me in paradise. Is that what it says? Today, truly I tell you, you, the one, not both, the one with a little bit of faith, the one who said, remember me. Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Today. What does that tell us? Salvation. It's immediate. When we ask God to save us, he does. He hears us. When we cry out to him and say, rescue us, forgive us, remember us. Today, he does it. I love what Jesus said in John chapter 5. Verse 24, he said, I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. Today, this criminal had hope. Today. And then what does Jesus say? You might be with me. Well, let me think about it. This isn't what he said. He says, you will be with me. You will be. There's assurance there. There's a promise there. You will be with me. Salvation is relational. With is relational language. With me, that's relational. Not rules, regulations, religious. It's relationship. Friendship with Jesus. Today, you will be with me. And I believe that Jesus is inviting everybody in this room to be with him, inviting us into a life-giving life-changing and a lifelong friendship with himself, with Jesus. You and I are invited into that. In fact, if there's something that this passage shouts to me, is it's never, ever too late to say yes to Jesus. It's never too late. Here's a guy being crucified on a cross, and in that last moment, he turns and he says, "Remember me. Today, you will be with me in paradise." In paradise. There's a lot of questions about heaven. All I know is heaven is real. I can't give you all their scriptures, and the book of Revelation talks about it, and 1 Thessalonians. But here's, I think, what's most important that I take from this. Today you will be with me in paradise. Heaven is real, and both criminals have a choice. Do you want to spend eternity with Jesus or not? And what I notice is Jesus doesn't force himself on the criminals, and he never forces himself on us. He doesn't force his love, and he doesn't force eternity on us. He says, you get to choose. Do you want to spend eternity with God or apart from God? And if you spend your life doing this to God, and you say, I don't want God to be part of my life, he grants you, notice in the text, Jesus, no, he's not trying to talk the one criminal into it. And that's the invitation for you and me. Do we want to spend eternity with God in paradise or not? And I love how Paul kind of looks back at the foot of the cross. And he writes some things that I want us to look at. Ephesians 1, verse 7, Paul says, and you got to underline this in your Bible, so overflowing is his kindness to us. Does that blow your mind? The love of God is overflowing. His kindness towards us is overflowing. How do we know that? That he took away all our sins through the blood of his Son, by whom we are saved. Right here at the foot of the cross, we experience the kindness, the overflowing generosity and kindness of God. And then Romans 3. 21 and 22, Paul says this, but now God has shown us a different way to heaven, not by being good enough and trying to keep his laws, but by a new way, though not new really, for the scriptures told about it long ago. Now, God says, he will accept and acquit us, declare us not guilty if we trust Jesus Christ to take away our sins. And we all can be saved in this same way by coming to Christ, no matter who we are or what we have been like. Do you believe that? Do you believe the word of God? We all can be saved in the same way by coming to Christ, no matter who we are or what we have been like. The foot of the cross is the best place in the world. It's where grace and truth meet. The foot of the cross, it is the best place to linger, to soak and reflect and keep coming back to and receiving the unfailing love of God. It's where his new mercies are new every morning. It's where we experience his amazing grace at the foot of the cross. Do you see the picture? Do you see why I might kind of reframe my life and say, man, I've been to some beautiful places, but it is here. This is the most beautiful place in the world. This is what evens the playing field for everybody in the room. Well, that's part one of the sermon. Now we're going to go to part two. And that is, I want you to notice that it's not Jesus plus something. It's just Jesus. That's why I love that song that we sang. Give me Jesus. Not give me Jesus and, just give me Jesus. Just give me that love. Give me that forgiveness. Give me that freedom. Give me that hope. And I think what happens for us, you notice the cross looks a little different this morning, is we live our lives in a way that we say, it's Jesus plus something else. It's not just Jesus. It is Jesus and this cause, or Jesus and this issue that I'm passionate about. It's not just Jesus. And so I made a list of 21 issues that we add to the cross. 21 issues that I add to the cross, you add to the cross, that the church historically, for centuries, has added to the cross and then had to figure out, let's go back to the foot of the cross. The early church in Acts 15, it was, the Gentiles, they got to be circumcised in order to be saved. They got to follow the Jewish law. It's Jesus plus. And they went, no, no, no. It's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. And so I might push a few buttons here this morning, and I want you to become self-aware. I want you to listen to, yeah, but. If you hear yourself saying, yeah, but, then I'm talking to you. You ready? And thank you to Mrs. Yardley. She stayed up all night putting all these up here for us. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. So let's start. I'm going to kind of rip through the list. Predestination or free will? Do you choose God, or does God choose you? The church is divided. Denominations have split over this issue. How about once saved, always saved? John chapter 10. Or you can lose your salvation, Hebrews 6. Wait, what? What? Can you lose your salvation? Is my brother saved? He said, that was a phase I went through in high school. I don't believe that stuff anymore. But he made a commitment when he was 15. Is he saved or isn't he? I don't believe that anymore. Baptism. Believers or infant? I don't know. Are you Presbyterian or Calvary Chapel? Churches split. Churches divide over baptism. How about worship music? Is it hymns or is it Hillsong? Is it the organ or is it the drums? There have been seasons in the history of the church, drums or the devil. I can't go to a church with drums. And Christians, brothers and sisters, we divide. How about spiritual gifts? Is there a second baptism? You're not filled with the Spirit of God unless you've had that second. And what about spiritual gifts and speaking in tongues? Is that for every believer or is it just for some? Is it a spiritual gift released to some, or is it a spiritual gift that everybody's supposed to have, and if you don't have it yet, well, I don't know if you're Spirit-filled. I took the Signs and Wonders class from John Wimber at Fuller, and we talked about this. And he would say it's for everybody. All of us in here should be speaking in tongues. But then you talk to Chuck Swindoll, and he's like, no. That's just for some. Who? What? Let's talk about some more issues. How about, how about creation care? Is that a climate change political agenda? Or is that a stewardship issue? Is it a biblical issue or a political issue? How about Israel and Palestine? There are some churches that are like, no, you've got to be pro-Israel no matter what. That's what the scriptures teach. There are other churches that would say, no. The church is the new Israel. And so you got to love your brothers and sisters in Palestine just as much. There is no preference. And churches divide. I can't stay here. I need you to be this or that. How about pro-life, pro-choice, pro-women? The whole abortion issue, it's so divisive. And yet, this is going to push on. There are Christians who are, I read an article, because I'm pro-life, I vote pro-choice. What? Some of you, right? And some of you that are pro-choice are like, what? How could you? And you could go find a church where everyone is in one camp or another, by the way. But you're not going to find that here. There are brothers and sisters sitting next to you that think differently than you on some of these things. I mean, let's just, the LGBTQ plus in the church. How do we deal with that? Divorce and remarriage. The Bible, is it inerrant or infallible? The death penalty or life in prison? How about marriage? Is it egalitarian or complementarian? How about women in leadership? Is it women can be in all levels? You can be ordained or no. You can pray. You can work with the kids and you can serve coffee outside. There are churches in town. It's one or the other. Not making any judgments. End times, pre, mid, post-trib. Dispensational premillennialism or covenant theology? And when I say covenant, I don't mean Ocean Hills covenant or the evangelical covenant. Covenant theology is different than dispensational premillennial theology. And there are churches in town that hold to very strict a dispensational premillennial theology. Some of you older people like me, remember that book, The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey? That was a dispensational premillennial theology. And the president of our denomination held it up in a seminar I was in and said, everybody needs to read this book. It's amazing. And then go put it on your bookshelf under fiction. So, what are you going to do with that? And we can go on. I had a person when I was a new Christian grabbed my Bible, my NIV, New International Version. And I was a young Christian. I just kind of knew in it all. And he went like this. He was a family friend. And he knew I was a new Christian. He goes, what's this? This isn't the Bible. If you're not reading the King James Version, you're not reading God's Word. Am I going to hell? Why? We have these strong opinions, and that's okay. It's okay to have opinions and perspectives. What about, is the Second Amendment biblical, or is it gun control? Are we going to heaven, or is heaven coming to us? Depends what scholar you read. I know I'm messing with some of you. You're going to go out of here going, whoa. I'm just trying to make a point. At the foot of the cross, I think at the foot of the cross, the heart of God is saying, can you be humble? Not hostile? Can you believe the best about your brothers and sisters that maybe see it differently? Can you respect your brothers and sisters that maybe see it differently? Not, I'm more enlightened than you, and I look down, and I'm condescending, and you're junior varsity Christian, and someday you'll get up with me. Trevor, go ahead and put that next slide on. That one. Can you humble yourself and say, I'm still learning? Say that out loud with me. I'm still learning. Let's say that again. I'm still learning. At the foot of the cross. At the foot of the cross. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I make mistakes. I'm flawed. I'm a sinner. I am. Are you? Are you flawed? Are you broken? Are you lost? I am. But at the foot of the cross, I'm received. I'm loved. I'm accepted. I'm a work in progress. And our favorite discipleship word, I'm becoming. Over my lifetime, I'm becoming. I'm not there yet. Do you know this list? Do you know that there are respected scholars that have changed their mind? John Stott, probably the most influential biblical scholar theologian in my lifetime. He was on the issue of just war and pacifism. He was a pacifist almost his entire life, and towards the end of his life, he changed his mind. You can't change your mind. What do you think about people who change? Are they wishy-washy? Are they, or is it possible that as we grow and become, I might change my mind? Am I allowed to change my mind on what we might call second-tier, non-essential issues? They're important. Don't get me wrong. These are important issues, but they're not foot of the cross. Jesus died for my sin, conquered death, rose again to give me new life. That's what I would call an essential issue. But these other issues, they're important. But we spend our life working them out in community, learning from each other, from God's word in community. I'm still learning. We are a learning community. And here's just maybe some free advice, not trying to offend anyone. But could I ask you to remove from your vocabulary, this isn't political, it's biblical language. I've heard that from both sides, both extremes, by the way. Use that line. And as soon as I hear it, I go, it is political and it is biblical. It's both. And so many of these issues are biblical and they're political. And that's what makes it messy and hard. And that's why our heart breaks. There are scholars, pastors, theologians who at one time held one position, but through being in community, being open to the Spirit of God, and with humility were able to say, my current thinking on that issue is this, but man, after being in this group with you guys, I'm thinking, I respect what I'm understanding. Maybe there's a different, I don't know. And then there are others who go, we're. You know the early church, you know what they argued about? You know what was dividing them? Food, sacrifice to idols. Wait, you can't be eating that food that they sacrificed. Dude, that's going to condemn you to hell. You can't, no, it's just food. It's just... Listen to this, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Doesn't matter what the issue is. I want you to filter this passage through the issue that you're holding so tightly to. Paul writes this, now regarding your question about food that's been offered to idols. Yeah, we know that we all have knowledge about this issue. But while knowledge makes us feel important, did you hear that? But while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church. Now, this next phrase is going to be hard for some of you, as it was for me. Anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much. That's in the Bible. I didn't say that. That's like, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Let me read that again. Anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much. And then he says this, but for us, there's one God, the Father, by whom all things were created and for whom we live. We live for him. And there's one Lord or Master, Jesus Christ, through whom all things were created and through whom we live. It all comes back to the foot of the cross, to Jesus. There's this great theologian that we have in our church who at our Next Step class always reminds us. His name's Pastor Jano. And he always reminds us of a quote that some attribute to Augustine, some say Wesley, some say whatever, but here it is. In essentials, the foot of the cross, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, all this stuff, liberty, that means freedom, and in all things, charity, that means grace. Let me say it again, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. I'm going to have the band come up. I'm going to bring us back to the most beautiful place in the world, the foot of the cross, the table, where we get to partake and remember what happened on the cross. That on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he actually took bread. He was with his friends, his disciples. He broke the bread. He said, this is my body. It's broken for you. I want you to take it and I want you to eat it in remembrance of me and what I've done. And then he said, he took the cup of wine. We have grape juice, but wine. And he said, this cup, it's the new covenant. It's for the forgiveness of sins. Take it and drink it. And when you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're coming to the foot of the cross and you're saying, I'm flawed. I'm broken. I'm a sinner in need of forgiveness. I don't have all the answers. I'm putting my hope in one Lord, Jesus Christ. I'm going to just keep coming back to the most beautiful place. And at the foot of the cross, I'm going to kind of get rid of my hostility that you don't see life the way I do, that you don't vote the way I do, that you don't see all the Bible like I do. We can talk about that in a civil way. But when we come to the table, we come to the foot of the cross and we get humble. This is a posture of humility. It's a posture of surrender. It's a willingness to say, God, I'm desperate for you to forgive me, to heal me, to help me live this life of loving others well. Show me what that means. Help me to be that man, that woman, whether it be your partner, your wife, your husband, your kids. Might be the person sitting right behind you who voted absolutely different than you did. God wants, you know, his prayer for the church was, he could have prayed a lot of things. You know what he prayed for? Unity. Unity. God, may they be one. May they be one. Those who come to believe in me, that's us, may they be one. You know, it's going to, only one thing can make us one, and it's going to the most beautiful place in the world. This is it. You got to come here and kneel. You got to come here and surrender and say, forgive me, and then help me. And then help me live a life of love in humility. God opposes the proud. God opposes the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. Which one are you this morning? If you're willing to humble yourself, come and partake. Receive the forgiveness of God and walk out of here in freedom. New life, new beginnings, new hope. Let me pray. Let's stand together. God, I pray that what we've heard this morning, I don't know. I hope it'll be helpful and fruitful. I hope it'll change the way I live, the way I see my brothers and sisters. I just know that I don't have all the answers. I'm still learning. And I pray that we would have enough grace in this room to love each other as people that are still learning, still becoming. Thank you that the blood of Jesus takes away all our sin. That is good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you're ready, feel free to come. If you want to kneel, you can kneel. I'm going to invite our prayer team to be in the corner. Some of you might want prayer and come for prayer. When you're ready, come on down and then maybe come down the center aisles and go out the side aisles.